So let me just pray as we get into God's word. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, Father, today, and we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would speak to us through your word, that your word would be a sharp, two-edged sword piercing into our very lives in Jesus' name. We come to you and we ask that you'd speak to us. We ask that we'd lay aside all these distractions. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we finished Ephesians chapter 3. I would say it was a grand finale for the first part of Ephesians. The grand finale. And I talked about God's amazing love, being rooted and grounded in love, knowing so much that God loves you that no matter what you do, you've done, or whatever, you always know he's there with open arms. And I talked about God's love last week, a grand finale. Watchman Nee broke Ephesians into three parts. Sit, walk, stand. Pretty easy to remember. Sit, walk, stand. Ephesians 1 through 3 that we just went through is sit. 4 and 5 is walk. And 6 is stand. In the last several months, we've been focusing on the sit. 1 through 3, sit. In Ephesians 1 through 3, we don't see Paul saying, do this or do that. The whole chapters 1 through 3, he doesn't really tell us anything to do. He just wants us to sit and soak in God's grace, his love, and what he thinks about us. How many of you guys just like to sit? I do. So I just like to sit there. You don't have to do much when you sit. You sit, you listen. My wife and I sit and we watch a movie. We sit to talk to friends. Sitting doesn't take any energy. You just sit there and you can enjoy a conversation. That's the first chapter of Ephesians 1 through 3. As we're sitting and Paul's saying, oh, in a sense, I don't want you to do anything. Just hear. This is who you are in Christ. So you're sitting there soaking in all this amazing things about you. Guys, you remember some of the things that we went over these last weeks? So we're sitting there. Paul comes and tells us what? One, you're holy. Joey, who loves to be pointed out in service, is holy. As a believer in Jesus Christ, she's holy. That's awesome. Well, I don't feel holy, but okay, in Jesus, I'm holy, and he's making me holy. So we're holy. We are what? We are blessed with all the blessings in the heavenly places. All the riches are ours in Jesus. Woo! Yeah! You know one thing? I'm going to say something about worship this morning. I thought worship was awesome. But you know what? If we don't know our true identity, worship's dead. I didn't really see people get too excited about the awesome worship we had. We forget what I've just been talking about. We're holy. We're blessed with the riches of heaven. I like riches. I want that. Or we sit there and worship. Worship's an expression of love for God. Are we worshiping to say, thank God, thank you, God, for giving us all your riches? The riches are ours in Christ. Not only that, we're holy. He's given us riches. He's also adopted us. He's chose us before the world was made. He chose you and I. Yes! I was chosen. And not only was I chosen, but Jesus came and he died for me. And he died for me. He gave me the Holy Spirit. His Spirit lives inside me. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then I become, the next thing he's given us in Ephesians is we are now part of a big body, the universal church, and all of us all over the world who know Jesus are one in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're that black church, if you're the Hispanic church, whatever, we're one in Christ, if Jesus is the center. And then last week I closed about God's love. That God's love ties together who we are in Christ. So if we know who we are in Christ, it changes everything. The foundation. If you sit and you know what all these things I just said, holy, you're chosen, you're sealed. God loves you. We need to hold to that. Because we can't walk or stand until we know who we are. You are a child of the living God. If the throne room was through that door outside, the throne room, you go into the throne room. You have a right in Jesus Christ to walk in and go into the presence of the God who could consume you at any moment. But because of Jesus Christ, we have access through Jesus Christ into the throne room of God. It's ours. Are you excited about that? That is ours in Christ. Of who we are in Christ. That's why I gave the 3-month challenge. Because when we spend time with God, we're continually sitting. How are we going to know about God? How are we going to know what about sin and struggles unless we sit? How do we hear Him unless we sit? You know, I started my air conditioning job with Thompson Heating. Long hours this week. I'm tired. And I went to this way out. The office is a LaGrange, and it was some country house. And it was a country farm. It was beautiful, beautiful property. And I pulled up, and we checked out some systems there. And I started talking to this lady, and she's lost her husband recently, but she used to raise sheep. And she raised sheep. She said, I love sheep. And she was telling me about sheep. She's a Christian. And she goes, you know, there's a lot of neat Bible lessons when you're raising sheep. And she goes, one time, her husband went out to get the sheep when he was alive. And he was trying to get the sheep to come over where the food and the water was. But the sheep would not come. And he kept trying. And then what ended up happening, she found out, she went over there and she called the sheep and they came. The sheep did not know her husband's voice. They knew her voice. How are we to know God's voice unless we sit in His presence? So we have all these voices in our head. How do you know what's of God? When you sit, you learn to hear what is of God and what is not of God, because what is of God, we find in His Word. What is not of God is outside His Word. So that's why in this area of sitting is something we always have to do daily. Learn to sit so that we can walk. So challenge, are you spending time with God? Are you spending time with Him? You need to learn to sit at His feet. I did not always know how to do that. For 8 to 10 years, I tried to walk God, and I failed. I was afraid to go to hell, afraid if I just needed to do more. Until one time in New Zealand, I was in my early 20s, and I was in New Zealand. I went to spend time with God because I'm supposed to spend time with God. I was disciplined, and I could do it. So I spent time with God, and I remember reading the portion from Luke 10, and after I read this portion about Mary and Martha, after I read that portion, the Lord said to me in my heart, read, before you could truly obey me, you must first be in love with me. I was trying to walk and be obedient before I was in love with Him. And as I begin and am still learning about His love is what motivates me to pursue Him. But like I said last week, if we view God as angry, upset with us, I can't come to Him unless I get clean first, that's not the God I serve. God I serve, I can come in Him, I can come to Him in my blatant sin. Now, he's not going to ignore it, but he's there with open arms, and he will help us walk through it. He doesn't have the fake you love. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. No, he loves us. His arms are open. So that's why I did the 3-month challenge, is that we would learn to sit in his presence, to sit with him. Now we get to, that's sit. Now we're beginning in Ephesians 4, the walk. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And so this week I'm going to do 1 through 16, and the next week I will finish out, Lord willing, chapter 4. So Ephesians chapter 4. Let me begin in verse 1 to 16, where Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. I'm saying he ascended. What does it mean? But that he descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves that carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is head into Christ, from the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I want to say one thing. When I read that passage, there's so much in that passage. There's things that you may say, hey, I don't understand that. Don't worry about it. Today, I'm not going to go through all that. I'm going to take some portions. When you read something and it has a lot of like, I don't understand that. Don't let the enemy come in and go, oh, I just don't get it. Just take what you get and start thinking about it and see what God says. And so when I read that passage, instead of dissecting all of it, because it'd take weeks to dissect that passage, I wanted to focus on some aspects of it. Here, Paul is no longer telling us to sit. Now he's starting to say, to do things. He's starting us to walk. He wants us to stop sitting and to get up and walk. Or you could look at it this way. It is time to grow up. Have any of you guys ever visited the nursery or the viewing room in the hospital to see the babies? Who doesn't like to do that when you're there? If you're in the area, oh, I'll go see the babies. And you go up and you see the babies, and we're going to have 2 babies here soon. Lord willing, we'll have 2 babies here. We already have one, in kidnapped somewhere. Okay. Baby's never with Stephanie anymore. We love babies. Now, you may say, I think everyone loves babies. You may say, oh, no, I don't want to have a baby. But you love to hold babies. So you go to the viewing room and you see babies of all sizes, of all shapes. Some you want to just pick up. Others you're like, ooh, a little embarrassing. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But you see different babies. You see some with big cheeks, big thighs that like bulge. We all love babies. They lay there, and later they'll just sit. They can. Now, say one day you went to the hospital. And you go to see the babies. And instead of seeing babies, you see Christina Meek, you see Stephanie, you see my wife in the baby beds trying to fit, sucking their thumb. What an image of my life. That's really good. And Christina, it's really good. What would you think? First, I'd probably think they have mental problems. But then there's also part of me that say, that is really, if I knew it wasn't that, it's pathetic. Paul, in this passage, is beginning to tell us it's time to grow up, to get out of just sitting and to start walking. We could stay in church our entire life and sit and never do anything for God. But we need to learn to start taking baby steps towards God. We need to start walking to Him. It's time to grow up. How many Christians should be walking, but they're still laying in the baby bed sucking their thumbs? Are you that baby? Are you trying to start walking? Have you been sitting, soaking in God's Word, sitting so you could begin to walk? You don't just get there. Christianity is not like, I've arrived. The more I walk with God, the more I discover I don't know. But I'm walking. I fall, I get up, I confess my failings, and I keep going for Him. It is time to stop making excuses. You ever wake up on a Sunday morning, or when you're supposed to go, maybe if you're going to go into God's Word, or you're going to go out and hang out with God's people? Oh, I'm just too busy. Your thoughts are coming? I'm too tired. I'll go next week. Or when you go spend time with God or go to church, I can't read very well, so I'm not going to do it. Or I'm an addict. You know, moving here, I've been exposed to a lot of different addicts. I come in contact with a lot of people.
I think the enemy uses that phrase. When an addict, you're always an addict.
A guy I've been working with at Thompson Heating this week, his name, I don't say his name just in case, but I'll call him Eric. I was working with Eric this week. And you know, you get to know each other as you're driving with this guy. He's teaching me how the company runs and what they do. And as I was talking to him, he said, oh, you'll probably hear, but he has a felony, and he was an addict. His drug was meth. And you know what he told me his testimony, how one day he came to, I'm guessing, a dark place, and he said, I fell on my knees, and I said, God, set me free from addiction. And it's been over 5 years ago. You guys read? You hear that phrase? He's not saying, I heard that phrase, addict, always an addict. But that's not true when God steps in.
Amen.
The enemy uses that, and he'll pound that into you. You're an addict. We're all addicts in different ways. Being a drug addict or struggling with that is no different than being an addict of pornography or an addict of greed or selfishness or lust. We're all addicts. But when Jesus steps in, He can set us free.
Amen.
We need to believe that. I think the enemy just, we go into psychology. We try to find all these reasons why we still do it. But if God's word's true, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Oh, no, but not the addict. I think it's a lie from the very pit of hell. Jesus can set us free, but we need to learn to sit so we can be set free to walk. It was great talking to this guy and hearing his testimony. It is time to stop making excuses and begin to grow up and walk. I mean, 20, 30 years, do you want to be exactly who you are in Christ today? Defeated? Inconsistent with your walk with God? Always with your head down? Going like this your entire life? Or would you rather be going like this your entire life? But Jesus is with you and He's helping you go through it. There's a difference. I think we'll all go through it. But it's how you walk through it. When you walk with Him, He can help you make it through it. If you're going with yourself, man, your life is like a roller coaster of defeat. I don't want to do that. I want to learn to walk with Him. It's time to grow up. Stop sucking your thumbs. It's time to grow up. But first I want to ask a question, though. Okay, we're sitting. We need to sit daily so we can walk. But if we want, how do we know if we're walking? Now, remember, I'm saying we're taking baby steps here. Sometimes we think, although I'm a true Christian, I'm so spiritual right here. That's me. No. It's a journey. Everyone's journey is different. It's taking baby steps. How do we know if we're walking? How do we test? Being in the Bible Belt, it seems like everyone believes they're a Christian. But then they live whatever they want. I'm a Christian. I'll do whatever I want. There's like a contradiction there. You can't live any way you want if you're a Christian. But because they say, I believe in Jesus, I'm in. That's the Bible Belt mentality. I'm in. I can do whatever I want. Jesus' love will cover me up. No, that's not how it works. But how do we know if we walk? And Paul tells us here how we know we will walk. Paul answers these questions here. Because remember, in verse 1, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have called. He's just saying to them, hey, you guys, God has called you. He's chosen you. You are holy. He's all your riches are yours. You're his masterpiece. You're his workmanship. And you know what? Now you need to walk in a way that reflects what you know you are. That's why if you don't know who you are, you can't walk properly. If you think you're a beggar and you're a dirt and you're God doesn't like you, you're going to walk that way. But if you know you're the King of Kings, saved by God's grace, you walk a little different. You don't walk in your pride, but you walk in, this is who I am in Christ. And you begin to walk. How do we know if we walk? How do we walk worthy of what we know about ourselves? And Paul says here, he describes a person who is walking and growing into maturity. And we see that in verses 2 and 3. Listen, he goes, with all humility and gentleness with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So in this passage, he says we are to walk worthy. He mentions a word about mature manhood. Grow up is in this passage. And here he tells us, how do we know if we're walking? And he uses these words, humility, gentleness, patience, love, and peace are signs that someone is beginning to take baby steps. First, what's humility? Anybody? What is humility? Embarrassment? Okay. Is humility someone who grovels when someone walks into the room? That's not humility. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. I can do everything myself. I'll do whatever I want. It doesn't matter whatever person tells me. I know you guys never experienced that in your lives. When your spouse tells you to do something, something inside you wants to whack them, a good one. Pride. So that helps us understand humility. Humility is yes, you have the ability to be proud, but instead you learn to be selfless. You learn, like that as a Christian, we're humble because we can't do it of ourselves, but we're dependent on God. So instead of being proud, I can do it, God, I'll do whatever I want. You're my Lord. So I humble myself by saying, Lord, I will follow you. I can't do it myself. It's a giving up of self. Are you growing in humility? Not the false hitting yourself down. That's not a child of God. That's not who you are. So you shouldn't be doing that. That's the enemy that makes you feel that way. But instead, you walk in who you are in humility because you didn't earn it. God gave it to you. And he has the credit for where you're going and what you are. Humility. Are you growing in humility? Here's a test. Do you know him? Are you growing in baby steps in humility? The next word is gentleness. Have you ever been around a harsh person? Maybe you've been harsh. There's times my wife and I probably harsh to each other in certain ways. Maybe the way we say something when we're angry, you know, in the middle of a battle. You're like, oops, and you apologize later. But then some of us have even been in really a relationship where there is harshness, even to the place of violence. Right? We've been around those people. The opposite of harshness and violence is gentleness. It is power under control. Another word you can use for it is meekness. When we changed Kelton and Olivia's diaper, they hated at a certain age, I forget what age, you would do it, and you're trying to, and they're kicking around trying to turn, and if they turn, poop goes everywhere. Now, I had the power. I could sit on them, and they wouldn't move hardly at all. But I would hurt them. So you would do the thing of holding them the best you can, trying to be firm, but not hurt them. And I even saw this lady who had, like, was it quadruplets? Or she had something they show on, you see on Facebook? And they're all on the bed, and I think they could still get, they could crawl at this point. They're all on the bed, and she flips them all over, and she starts with one, and the others are all going for the edge of the bed. And she's all, and that one gets going, and she starts with the next one. And these others are going, and she keeps laying them down, and they're going, I mean, it's comical. It'd be easy to be harsh. Instead, gentleness, power under control. Are you growing in gentleness? You have the ability, bam, but you choose with Christ, I will live differently in gentleness. Are you growing? A test of a counterfeit Christian and a true Christian is someone who's beginning to take baby steps in these areas. Are you there? No. Am I there? No. Mainly this next one, I am not there, is patience. I am the most patient person I know. Not really. You guys have probably heard over and over again, I'm not very patient with my driving, but I have to be a little bit more now because I've never worked at a heating and air conditioning and I've never been a lead pastor at the same time. So now I'm like, well, I better be even better here because I can't sit there and go, hey, you know, I'm not only representing the company I'm driving with, but now, who are you? I'm a pastor. I mean, there's a little bit, I mean, that just makes me, but I'm not very patient. When someone cuts me off, idiot. My wife goes, she always defends the other driver. I'm the bad guy, and I mostly am. I'll read, this is what she used to say, I'll read, they tried to do that just to you. Oh, that helps me. Oh, thanks, love. She's supposed to be my defender. But no, it's always the other person, love. I'm not very patient. Another word for patience is long-suffering. Are you able to suffer long when people do things that are not good to you? You have the ability, but you hold back. Are you growing in patience? And then there's love. Are you a loving person? A person who displays sacrificial love. You lay down your life for those around you. For those in the church and those outside the church. Are you growing in love? Would people look at you and go, you know what? Lori is a loving person. Would people look at Stephanie, as a loving person, how people say about you may not always be true, but overall, generally, it has some truth to it. When people look at you, do they say, hey, that person is a loving person? Are you taking baby steps to love better? Remember, you can't do any of this unless you're sitting with Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? If you abide in me and I in you, you could bear much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing. So unless we learn to sit, we can never walk. But we learn to sit, spend time with him, be around God's people, we begin to take baby steps. We'll stumble, we'll fail, but we keep getting up. And then there's peace. Are you a person of peace? When there's conflict, when there's anger, when things are stirred up, when people want to gossip about this person doing this or that, are you the type of person that is growing in peace. You come in, not to prove you're right, not to help defend someone else, but you come in to bring peace. Are you a peacemaker? Whew, that's tough. Maybe when you're heat in the moment, that is tough. God has called us to take baby steps to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker. Are you growing in peace? And lastly, it says in verse 7 and 8, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Are you, if you are walking, you are using your spiritual gift. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, begin to serve and love in Christ, in God's church. And as you begin to serve and love, he will reveal to you what your spiritual gift is. If it's a gift of serving, if it's a gift of affirmation, you encourage people. If you're, like in this passage, it's leadership gifts of evangelists, apostles, teachers, prophets, all these are spiritual gifts. But you know what? Right now, you may think, I will never, could never be a leader. But you never know, God may have that in mind for you. And someday, he's raising you up to give you a spiritual gift of leadership. God can use anybody. Or he can use me, he can use anybody. You know what? It doesn't matter where you're at. God wants you to use your spiritual gifts. When you're taking baby steps in this area, you can grow. So today, as the worship team come forward, how will you respond? Are you just sitting back here not doing anything? Well, first, are you sitting at Jesus' feet? Are you spending time with God? Because you can't walk or stand unless you spend time with God. If you fill up your gas tank on Sunday mornings with 10 cents, you're not going to make it through the rest of the week. So we need to sit, but then we need to stop sitting and begin to learn to walk. The morning, look at it this way. The morning, whatever you do, whenever you spend time with God, look at that as sitting. When you leave your house and do other things, yes, you're sitting in your mind in one way. You're with God. He's with you. But you know what? You're walking. You're beginning to make baby steps with God. Are you growing in humility, gentleness, patience, love, and peace? If you are not growing in these areas, then something's wrong. You're not growing in these areas, then you need first to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. It's time for me to grow up and stop making excuses. With you, I am not always mad at whatever sin I struggle with. With you, I can overcome all things.